לקוטי שיחס חלק י' זיין, פרשס תזריע, שיחה א'. The discussion in this week's שיחה begins with the mitzvah of bris milah and an explanation about the time of day a bris should be performed. After the giving of the Torah, when we were commanded we are to perform a bris on a male child, we were commanded to perform the bris by day and not at night. If it's important for a bris to take place by day and not at night, why then did the Yidden and Mitzrayim, who circumcised themselves before leaving Egypt, say they would have a mitzvah with which to pull themselves out of Egypt's impurities with, do so at night? The answer is that the night our nation left Mitzrayim was a night which shone bright like day. And while this was a physical experience, making our departure from Egypt simpler, smoother, easier, it's also a commentary on the spiritual experience of leaving Egypt then and now. The Sicha begins quoting the verse in this week's Torah portion in chapter 12, verse 3, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel, and the Pasuk reads, U'biyoyim hashmini, Yimoyl Besar Arlasai. The Torah in Parshas Tazria begins with Hashem commanding Moshe to tell the nation about the status of purity of a woman after the birth of a male child. This is then followed by our Pasuk, which states that on the eighth day he should be circumcised, based upon which Teres Koyanim, the Chachomim, the Gemara teach, Ubayim Hashmini, and on the eighth day means by day and not at night. This explanation tells us that with the giving of the Torah we received this instruction about performing a bris during the day, and that prior to Matan Torah a bris could be performed at night as well. In fact, according to the other source we have in the Gemara, in the Tractate of Shabbos, which bases the mitzvah of bris milah by day on the mitzvah, the commandment Hashem gave to Avraham in Parshas Lech Lecha, the understanding there is that only a bris that takes place in its expected time, in other words, on time, must be performed by day. But the instruction that a bris performed on the eighth day and any day thereafter must take place by day is gleaned from this pasuk in Parshas Tazria, from the words Ubayim Hashmini. Now, as a context for broadening this discussion, we turn to a medrash that tells us that while in Egypt, many Jews, the descendants all of Avraham, of Yitzchak, and of Yaakov, did not circumcise themselves simply out of fear. And so when it came to the night before or of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem commanded Moshe to prepare the Korban Pesach. Hashem then sent the winds of the four directions of the world to gather in Gan Eden, and from there to bring the scent of Gan Eden back to Egypt to be dispersed on the winds throughout wherever the Yidden lived in Mitzrayim. The scent drew them to Moshe's Korban Pesach. They gathered outside Moshe's tent, asking him for a portion of his Korban Pesach, to which Moshe responded, saying, if you aren't circumcised, you can't eat from the Korban Pesach. The response of the men of the nation to this was to immediately allow themselves to be brisked, to be circumcised, which then tells us, according to the Medrash, that it didn't circumcise themselves the night of Pesach. And more particularly, Moshe had said nothing, the Medrash indicates, that the nation had no foreknowledge from Moshe of a connection between eating the Korban Pesach and being circumcised, and discovered this only when they came to Moshe to ask for Korban Pesach. This is difficult to understand. Though it was permitted before Matan Torah to perform a circumcision after nightfall, if the right time for spiritual reasons is to have a bris by day Why didn't Hashem order the winds to gather and carry the scent of Gan Eden to draw in the nation during the day, before nightfall? The Yafei Tayar suggests that the fact that it says that they immediately went to be circumcised tells us it's possible that it was actually still daytime, as that evening was Yom Tov, and a circumcision that isn't an eighth day circumcision would not be performed on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and in addition, we don't do Mila at night. But that answer is problematic, says the Rebbe, in that the way the events of that night are recorded in the Medrash, it's clear that it was Taka at night, because the Medrash tells us it was Ad Shehamelech B'Mesibui, when the king, a reference to Moshe in this case, was sitting and eating the Korban Pesach along with other Jews. That's when the winds blew and brought the people to request Korban Pesach. And this mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach has to be performed at night and not before nightfall. Also, the two proofs that are brought in the Yafei Tayar that A, Mila that is not Bizmana on the eighth day after a birth doesn't displace the sanctification of Shabbos or Yom Tov, and that Mila is not performed at night are really not proofs at all. Because number one, as we said earlier, the halacha of Ein Mila Balayla, that a circumcision does not take place at night, was only taught after Matan Torah. And secondly, before Matan Torah, this first Yom Tov was not a typical Yom Tov with all the relevant prohibitions. Though they were instructed kol melacha lo ye'asa behem, about the prohibition of doing work on Yom Tov, it was a commandment that had to be talking about Chag Pesach in the future. Because the pasuk where they're instructed this says, and this is in Parshas Boi, ubayoyim harishon mikra kodesh yielochem, and on the first day, it should be a designated holy day upon which no work is done. And b'yom hashvi'i mikra kodesh yielochem. And on the seventh day is designated in holiness, and no work should be done. But the first Pesach of Yetzias Mitzrayim only had one day. So this pasuk that prohibits work on Yom Tov isn't talking about that first Pesach in Egypt. Now, lest you say, perhaps the verse is really speaking about two times. When it says Uviyom Harishon Mikra Kodesh, it's talking about Pesach in Egypt. When it says Uviyom Hashvi Mikra Kodesh, it's talking about future generations. You can't explain it that way, says the Rebbe, because the pasuk says Kol Melacha Lo Ye'aseh Bohem. No work should be done on them. Both days, Yom Rishon and Yom Hashvi, the seventh day, carry the prohibition of doing work. It's one instruction that applies to both Yom Rishon and Yom Hashvi. Also, in the Mechilta, the words Kol Melacha Lo Ye'aseh Bohem, no work shall be performed on them, is seen as attached to the seventh day. For the pasuk reads in Parshas Boi, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Tesayin, the 12th chapter, the 16th verse as follows: Ubayoyim harishayim mikra kodesh. The first day should be considered as sanctified. Ubayoyim hashvi'i mikra kodesh. The seventh day should be considered as sanctified. Yielochem. Kol melacha lo ye'aseh bohem. No work shall be done on them. The Mechilta sees no work shall be done on them as seemingly attached to the seventh day. But then we observe that also the first day is called Kodesh, Mikra Kodesh. And so this term Kodesh then teaches us that on the first day we are also prohibited from work, just as on the seventh. Hence, according to the Mechilta, the prohibition from work is on the seventh day of the Chag, and we derive from that that it's also the case on the first day of the Chag. In that case, Pesach Mitzrayim, which was one day only, doesn't carry the prohibition, as there isn't a seventh from which we can take out a lesson for the first. And finally, in fact, on Pesach Mitzrayim, there was no first. There was only one day. Which takes us back to the question, why, if a bris should best be performed during the day, was it done at night in Mitzrayim, even if, as we have just proved, there was no prohibition of work? Now, there is an opinion, the opinion of the Ran, that Pesach Mitzrayim did have a prohibition of work. We can still find a response to the Medrash suggesting that this wasn't at night at all, and we are going with the understanding that it was at night and trying to decipher why Hashem made it so, looking at a pasuk in the Medrash, sourced in Shir HaShirim. The pasuk describes the 60 warriors standing around the bedside of Shlomo HaMelech as Kulam Achuzei Cherev Milim De Milchama, all holding swords, all schooled in warfare, each one with his sword at the ready, Ish Harbei Al Yerechei, on his thigh. Juxtaposed to the event on the eve of Pesach and Mitzrayim, where we learn that when Moshe said that uncircumcised one cannot eat the Korban Pesach, they immediately each drew their own swords from their thigh sheaths and circumcised themselves. Now, why do we need to know that they circumcised themselves using these swords? Emphasis, it seems, should rather be on the fact that the response was immediate. Moshe said they could not partake of the Korban Pesach uncircumcised, and they immediately were prepared to be circumcised. As well, why do we need to know that each man used his own sword? It is in fact, then, these two details that answer the point the Medrash makes, that they would not be circumcising themselves on Yom Tov if it was not a bris bizmana on time. So it was probably by day. The prohibition of a bris on Yom Tov, though, is only when one does this in a regular way using the actual circumcision tools. But if one uses a shinui, makes a change to how the bris is done, does not use the regular circumcision tools, then according to Torah, not according to the Rabbanan, but according to Torah, it is permissible. Hence the emphasis on using their swords. Were the verse to simply say each one took a sword, we might believe it to be a reference to a verse in Sefer Yehoshua, where Hashem instructs Yehoshua, Asei lecha charvei tzurim, make for yourself sharp knives, and Hashem instructs Yeshua to circumcise the men of the nation again, which Rashi says, the Chachamim explain, circumcision again, as a part of the bris not commanded to Avram, but rather relevant to bris milah after Matan Torah. But the word cherev is used in this instruction to Yeshua. So had we been told that each man took a cherev, we might have assumed they were using a regular milah implement. But we know for certain that the nation, if they were walking around with knives sheathed in hip belts or in thigh belts, these were not milah knives. And so obviously we're being taught about a shinui, a difference that is made, where emphasis is made of charbei, each one taking his sword. So once again, we return to the question. They clearly performed circumcision at night, and why didn't Hashem orchestrate it so that they would be circumcising themselves by day before nightfall? There is a response in several sources in the Achronim that we can look to address this question about circumcision at night. And that is that the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim is described in the Zohar as Laila Kayoim Yo'ir, a night that shone brightly like day, which gave this night the halachic status of day. Of course, then we would ask, if the night of our leaving Egypt had the halachic implication of a day, how did we fulfill the mitzvahs of eating the Korban Pesach, eating matzahs and maror, which are all meant to be fulfilled at night. To which we must answer, says the Rebbe, that the halachic status of day on the night of our leaving Egypt was only relevant to the mitzvah of milah, because the mitzvah of eating the karban, the matzah, etc., was clearly and undoubtedly for the night. And now we want to understand what makes this so. What is unique about mitzvah's milah in its essential soul dynamic, that for this mitzvah alone, the night of leaving Egypt was night for the other mitzvahs, but day for the bris. Leaving Egypt was all about dilug, about a leap, about Pesach, passing over, essentially leaping beyond nature and limitations. Because within the practical realities of nature, the Jewish people could not leave Egypt. No slave could escape this land, practically, and spiritually too, we were steeped and caught in a quagmire of impurity. The only way to nullify and abolish the confines of nature is to nullify the entire structure of Seder Hishtalshelus, of the natural evolutionary process that Hashem put into place to create limitation. That beyond confines reality exists in a pre-process, pre-Hishtalshelus divine light. And this light is the light source of Torah. Within Torah, that light becomes structured. But as it illuminates in the source of Torah, it is beyond limitation and beyond structure. And so Hashem caused Moshe Rabbeinu to deliver this requirement that one be circumcised to eat the Karban Pesach not before darkness, but specifically once darkness descended, so that Milah would happen specifically at night, not as a post-Matan Torah structure, but as a pre-Matan Torah light, as the revelation of divine light on the night of Pesach transcended and abolished the limitations of darkness itself, the strictures of nature, so that it could lead to a nation of servants in Egypt leaving Egypt. And the same energy was required of us, a transcendent energy that bypasses man's natural inclinations, and this was expressed in the mitzvah of Milah, which reflects an eternal transcendent bond between a Jew and God, and in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Pesach reflecting the leap beyond the structures of the natural order of things. These two positive mitzvahs, if transgressed, God forbid, would make one deserving of kares, of being cut off from God. Hence, within this lies the absoluteness of a relationship with God. Either one has a relationship with God, and it is reflected in these two transcendent mitzvahs of Pesach and Milah, or one does not, and that, God forbid, leads to kares, to becoming completely cut away from godliness. This reflects the absolute that we refer to, that manifested for us to leave Egypt. Leaving was impossible unless there was an absolute annihilation of the bonds and strictures of the natural order and even the structures of Torah. Without this breakthrough, one remains in Egypt. Therefore, Milah in Egypt was the mitzvah, the energy that nurtured and permitted this, that night be illuminated like day. Hashem provided the illumination that broke nature and transformed darkness so that there was light to shine like day, and we provided the Dam Milah, the blood of circumcision, transcending nature and even what would be Torah structure, going beyond that into night. Accordingly, we can also understand the difference between Milah, circumcision, before and after Matan Torah. The leap that takes place in Mila is that of the pre-Matan Torah circumcision. This mitzvah took the nation out of the grasp of impurity and into the realm of holiness. These are not two ends of a spectrum. These two realities have no relationship or meeting point at all. These are two incompatible states, one within structure, measure, and limitation, and the other completely boundless. In that reality, even day and night have no existential difference, and they don't really exist. After Matan Torah, however, when our nation took on the persona and definition of holiness via action and performance of mitzvahs, which were given to make us holy, Mila, too, as prescribed as a mitzvah in Torah, has structure, law, and definition within holiness, and it makes a difference if it's night or day. Distinction of these two states exists. In our service of God, this all becomes a lesson of a continuous, ongoing journey of striving to always rise higher. Leaving Egypt is something we must experience in every generation and even every day. Where we were yesterday is lower than where we are today and where we will be tomorrow in our divine service. And we can do this because we know that there are no limitations on our growth, not even the limitations of the structure of Torah. As the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, that when one is faced with a personal Egypt, a stumbling block of, God forbid, transgressing God's supernal will, it makes no difference if it's a perceivably less important or severely important avera, prohibition, because when it's about God's will, reason and measure are transcended, and all commandments born of God's supernal will are equal. Even the Jew who is simple and less learned, may be even less committed, is motivated by the desire to sacrifice oneself rather than transgress. How much more so is this true when the distinctions of day and night are removed from the conversation? Darkness, night, looks like exhaustion and a less spiritual energy to fight the good fight. But when one makes no such calculations and proceeds with strength, a transcendent strength, the kind we say, I don't know where I got the strength from, and immediately circumcises the issue, the challenge, the nisoyan, he binds himself to Hashem and binds the world and eternity.